Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to our live webcast. Thank you for joining us. And as you will see, we have a special guest speaker, Elske from the Netherlands. We had her on back in September last year, and it was a real treat. And we did say at the time we'll have her back on again, and here we are, 6 months later. So sorry for that delay, but we're so glad you can join us, and really, really looking forward to what you're going to be sharing with us this evening. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Yes, we're looking forward to it, Elske. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's good.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. And really, you know, as you can see from the title, Elske's going to be talking about healing from the past and just bringing her unique perspective with her professional background, but also her own journey with Father, and putting those two together and showing us how, how we can get healing from the past. But that will no doubt be revealed in a few minutes. But just before we hand over to Elske, a couple of notices. It's the time of the year when Barry and I have to communicate very closely about the time, because this weekend, North America changes their clocks. And we, of course, in Europe, change our clocks in 2 weeks' time. So, and just to confuse matters even more, because we like to keep things simple, next Wednesday there's not going to be a webcast, because both Barry and I are away. So next Wednesday there won't be a webcast, but in 2 weeks' time, on the 23rd of March, Barry and I will be back. But for North America, it will be 4 o'clock in the afternoon, not 3 o'clock. It'll be 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the 23rd, 1 week only. Europe, it'll be 8 o'clock in the UK, 9 o'clock in most of the rest of Europe, as normal. Europe doesn't change. It's just the North Americans like to get ahead of us for a couple of weeks of the year. So we give them that grace. So just that 1 week only, on the 23rd, it will be at 4 o'clock for them. So,
yes.
If I can just mention...
That's right.
That's good? Happy with that, Barry?
I was just going to say... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Right,
just Mark being the forensic accountant that he is, he...
Excuse me, I was.
You were, yes. But you still have that in your being there. If he didn't keep me on track, I would be... I cannot get this very, very simple time change thing. It messes me up twice a year. So I'm very thankful for you, Mark. Appreciate it.
So, Barry, were you always one of the people that either got to church an hour early or got to church an hour late?
Yes. Well, in one time, it was actually quite embarrassing, because I was actually speaking at a conference, and they had the time change. So they would have, I don't know, it would have been an hour less, but they didn't change the clock in the church. And so I got up to speak, and I thought, boy, you know, I was speaking for a few minutes, and I thought, where did the time go? Because like, I looked at the clock, and it was like, we've got to wrap up. So I wrapped up the meeting, you know, and then afterwards the pastor said, why did you wrap up the meeting so quick? And I said, well, I looked at the clock, and they had forgotten to change the time. So anyways, you know, if there's a way for me to mix this up, I find it. So thank you, Mark, for keeping me on track.
So we try. We're keeping him on the right line. So that's just for a small note for a couple of weeks' time. And just to mention, the Encounter the Father's Love School, which we've got coming up in a couple of weeks, Cloverley Hall in Shropshire. We do have a few spaces left. Not many. We do have a few spaces left for that encounter. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. Having just got back from Poland and seeing the amazing personal encounters with the love of the Father that people were having right from the start of that week, it was just so encouraging and so exciting. And I really believe we're going to see the same thing when we gather together in Cloverley. So come and join us. We've got a couple of people travelling from other countries, so you're all very welcome. But all of the information is on the website fatherheart.uk/encounter. And as I say, we've got a few spaces left, and if you're in the UK or you want to travel, we would love to welcome you to that school. It's a life-changing week, so come and join us if you want to. So, Barry, do you want to pray for Elska before we hand over to her?
Yes, I would love to. Thank you, Father, for Elska. Thank you for her life. Thank you for the journey that you have led her on to be here today and to be able to share what's on her heart. Father, I just pray for a blessing on her and just the words that you want to share through her, that they would just be clear. Father, we ask for open hearts for everybody who is on the webcast live and for those who would listen to it afterwards, that there would be a real Kairos healing moment for us, a real-time moment, that, Father, you are from everlasting to everlasting, so even things in our past, Father, you can bring healing today, and we thank you for that. And so we just pray that our hearts would be open. Thank you, Father, that you love to heal your kids and just to bring restoration to us. And so we just look in anticipation for what you want to do and speak to all of us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Barry. Over to you, Elska.
Okay, thank you. Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for having me here. It's really sweet to be back here. So today I'm going to talk about healing from the past. I am a psychologist and I am 37 years old. And I have a passion for helping people break free from the past, from hurts from the past, from unhealthy thinking and patterns that come with that, and to help them become the person that they were created to be, to help them see how loved they are, how valued they are, how worthy they are, and to live life in a new way, in the way that God intended them to be. So that's my passion, and I'm thankful that I get to speak here today and to share a little bit, which might help you, I hope. I'm first going to give a summary of the first talk that I did in September 29th, and it was a talk about breaking free. I explained more there about cognitive behavioral therapy and how events can affect us, so I'm going to give a summary of that. Then I'm going to dive into healing from the past, both from attachment to our parents, our caregivers, how that influences day to day and how we react to loved ones. But the part about Jesus and about how the Father wants to heal us, that is applicable to all trauma, to all pain issues, and so I'm going to dive into that as well. I'm also going to talk about primary fears and unfulfilled needs that come from that growing up or from events, and how to heal from that and how Jesus fits in. And at the end, I'm going to give an exercise. I'm going to do a prayer with you, which is a beautiful prayer to help us to give our hurts and our pain to Jesus, so that he carries the burden for us and that we feel lighter. So I do want to say that if you have experienced trauma, I recommend to try to do EMDR. EMDR, that is a therapy that helps to lighten the load, to make the effects of the trauma less heavy. It's a beautiful therapy, and there are several therapies that can help with traumas. Also, some are still in process of becoming made, but this is really a beautiful one. And of course, I cannot pinpoint for every person here watching what can help you, but I hope that this general talk can give you glimpses of what God can do in psychology, but also through what Jesus and the Father can do for us in the Holy Spirit. So I want to start with a question that Mark asked last week in his talk. Can you trust the Father with your heart? I thought that was a beautiful question, and it matches with what I wanted to talk about as well. Because There's a line that has been said by a priest, Father Mike Schmitz, which is beautiful. Jesus shows us his wounds so that we wouldn't be afraid to show him ours. Jesus shows us his wounds so that we wouldn't be afraid to show him ours. He and the Father and the Holy Spirit are safe. They are vulnerable. They give everything to us. They are so vulnerable, and that means that we can be vulnerable with him too. We can trust him. There's a song you might know, Grace into Gardens. I am not afraid to show you my weakness, Lord. My failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. He sees all of us. He sees all of our pain, all of our hurt, all of our wounds, my failures and flaws. He sees them all, and he still calls you friend. It's a safe place, and we can find rest there. We can find comfort with him, with them, and we can find healing there. And I really hope that this tonight can, or this afternoon, whatever, wherever you watch it, can help bring that into your heart. So we all have issues from the past. We all have events that hurt us. But the Bible makes it clear for us that the Father restores what the locusts have eaten away. In Joel 2, verse 25. When something happened to us, or there was a relationship that hurt us, it can be seen as the locust. I'm from the Netherlands, so I don't speak perfect English. But he can restore what the locusts have eaten away. He wants to restore us, and he is able to. We can come to him. So psychology can help you with that, but also Jesus. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to bring those two together to get on the path of inner healing. So a summary from the other talk, from Breaking Free. You can watch that separately. You don't have to watch this one for that, but I do want to explain a little bit what we talked about there. I talked about how life can be difficult because things that have hurt us in the past can trigger pain points in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. It can make it difficult to respond on events, to respond on relationships. And this can block the way that God calls you to live. He wants you to be free and fully alive. But I think everybody of us have that there are things that happen to us that block that. So I explained how an event or a relationship can create layers in ourselves. When something happens, we form a core belief that is at the bottom, a core belief. For instance, I'm not loved for who I am, or I'm not worthy. From there, we create a rule of life to protect us. For instance, when we have the core belief, I'm not loved for who I am, then you can have the rule, if I don't sacrifice myself, I won't be loved. I have to sacrifice myself. Then come strategies. How do you deal with that? No boundaries, giving everything you got, not knowing who you are anymore, losing yourself, etc. And from there are the automatic thoughts. And these are the thoughts that just pop up really quickly in situations with friends or with people. For instance, when somebody doesn't greet you, oh, he doesn't love me, he doesn't like me anymore. So it all comes down from the core belief, I'm not loved for who I am. So we have all these layers. I explained some Bible scriptures that can help with that, because it's really good to challenge those automatic thoughts. It's what the Bible also says, to hold the thoughts captive. To hold them captive and to look at them, are they true? And I also explained some protocols that we have in psychology that can help with patterns that we have. So it's good to figure out what are my thoughts and to challenge them. And you can challenge them by a few questions. I didn't get to this in the last talk, but this is a few hints. For instance, if you ask yourself, if my best friend had this thought, what would I say? If my best friend had this thought, what would I say? If my best friend thinks, oh, I'm not loved, what would I say to that friend? Or are there small things that go against my thought? Is there proof against it? Are there different explanations for what happened? Do I jump to conclusions which aren't supported by facts? Do I jump to conclusions? Did I ever have this thought and it turned out it wasn't true? Did I ever have that thought and it turned out it wasn't true? Now, what is important to know that what we believe, we seek it out around us. We find confirmation of it. So if I believe I'm not worthy, I'm going to look around me to find proof of that. And you will find it because there's so many signals from the world. You will find it. And that influences your day, your life, your relationships, how you think of yourself, etc. So be careful what you think. Hold every thought captive. And I also want to say that there are some faults in thinking that you also want to be aware of. Some faults in thinking. So there is, for instance, reading minds. When you see somebody and he looks a little bit strange, like a face like this, you might interpret like that, like he's thinking about me, he's thinking that I'm stupid, or I did something wrong, or I have something on my face. You don't know that because it's you want to be careful with that. You cannot know what's in his mind. He might be thinking about his wife and the divorce they're going through. Or he might be thinking about his grocery list. Like there can be so many things that can go on in his mind. Another thinking fault, a fault in thinking, that can be where you overgeneralize everything. Like when I make a mistake, oh, I cannot do anything. I can do nothing. Black and white. And the last one I want to touch base is with personalizing things. When people are looking at you or two people are looking at you, you think, oh, there's something wrong with me. They're all looking at me. Maybe it's not personal. Maybe they're looking at somebody behind you. So I want you to be careful with what you think because that influences everything. It influences how you react and how you go through your day. So these things take time. Inner healing takes time. It can be quick when God does something. He can heal in a quick way, but it can also take time because it's something that you have carried with you. Like the kings in the caves, like Mark talked about last week. It can be things that you carried with you for years, for 20, 40, 60 years. So it's difficult to unlearn them. So take time. Don't beat yourself up. Give yourself grace. You're working on it. You have God on your side. And he knows you best. And he is the ultimate physician. So he knows what can help you best with healing in this part. So besides events that happened, there's also attachment. You grow attached to your parents or your caregivers as a child. And how that attachment goes is that it influences how you are as an adult. For instance, in relational, romantic relationships or with friends. It influences how you are as an adult. So I want to explain the four styles of attachment that there are. I try to be as simple as possible. It might be difficult to hear this. You might recognize some things. Just breathe. It's a safe place here. You can pause and look back later. It's all okay. So it's no problem. But the fact that when you know how it works, you can dive more into it and you can learn about it so you can work through it and find healing there. The first attachment style is avoidant. Avoidant attachment style. This happens when you are a child and your parents ignore you or are unresponsive to what you want and what you need. So they ignore you and they are unresponsive. This creates, when you are older, that you have a challenge in relationships with people. in close relationships, it's challenging. You avoid any sort of intimacy. You shut down when other people try to open up. But underneath these defenses, you are desperate for connection. And you struggle with feeling alone. You avoid intimacy. So this is the avoidant attachment style. The second one is the disorganized attachment style. Disorganized. This is when a child experiences persistent physical and or emotional abuse. The person who was supposed to love and care for you is the person that hurts you. You grow up to fear both intimacy but also fear of being alone. You find it hard to trust people, to detach yourself from others emotionally. You are terrified of being vulnerable or showing. This is the disorganized attachment style. The third one is ambivalent attachment style. This is when your parents or your caregivers are inconsistent with how they engage and respond with you, to your needs. The one moment they are responsive, and the other moments they ignore you, or they neglect you, or your needs. So it's one way and then the other.
So hopefully she'll come back in a minute. Really sorry about this, folks. But I guess it happens when we're reliant on technology. Here she comes. We lost you. Nice to have you back.
What happened?
You froze and then it just didn't come back. So sorry about that. I think you kind of froze. You were just on the ambivalent style.
Okay.
And you were saying the inconsistent way we're treated. So I'll just let Barry back into the background and then... there he is. Barry's back now. So I'll just hand over back to you, Elska, if that's okay.
Okay.
Carry on. Go for it.
Okay. So let's just say again what ambivalent was. So that is when your parents or caregivers are inconsistent with how they respond to your needs. One time they are responsive to what you need, and the other time, they ignore or neglect what you need. So the one time they are responsive, and the other time they ignore or neglect. You will grow feeling clingy and anxious in relationships. You crave intimacy, but you feel jealous, insecure, and paranoid. So this can be difficult to hear, so just breathe. Maybe that's why we froze. Maybe somebody just needed a minute. So we're back. So this is ambivalent attachment style. And the fourth is the secure attachment style. You can depend on your parents as a child. And even though you are separated, you are secure that your parents will return. When you are older and you are frightened, that you are comfortable with seeking reassurance. You are able to communicate openly and constructively. You are able to establish and maintain healthy boundaries. You feel secure with yourself, within yourself. You negotiate conflict through compromise, and you are able to process difficult events. So that is the secure attachment style. So you have the avoidant, disorganized, ambivalent, and the secure. So if you recognize in one of those or in several ones, because it's difficult to identify which one it is, it can be very subtle. Don't think of, oh no, my childhood years have ruined me, they have ruined me for life. Don't worry, there is hope and there is healing. In 1 Peter 5, verse 10, It says, the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. God is able to heal you. He will restore you himself. Himself, the God of the universe. He sees you and he can restore you. And today we're going to see a glimpse of how. God says also in Isaiah 49 verse 15, even if your mother can forget you, I will never forget you. So if you had disorganized or ambivalent or avoidant attachment style where your mother forgot you or your parents forgot you, know that there is a Father who can never forget you. He sees you. He's with you. Whatever happened, if they neglect you, your needs, they are not there, maybe there was abuse, your Father sees you and he was with you there. And you might think, why did he allow that? Why did he allow that to happen? We're going to get into that later on. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Isaiah 43, verse 4. He sees you. Jesus fulfills every need that we have. So from the attachment styles, there are needs that are unfulfilled. But Jesus fulfills every need. We're also going to look at that. Healing is found in relationship with Jesus, but also with the people around us. So we're going to see how that is possible. And I just mentioned, like, you maybe think, why did that happen to me? Why did that happen to me? You seek answers. Why did I have to struggle so much? I had a period myself where it was very dark and heartbreaking, and all I could do was to find answers around me. Like, why did it happen to me? Why? What can I do to get out of this? Why? And I needed peace, and I needed hope and love and healing. And at that moment, a friend of mine, she said, instead of asking all these questions, your tears are allowed to just be there. Your tears are allowed to be there. You don't have to brush it away and to find answers. God wants to give that to you too. He sits next to you. And he grieves with you. He grieves with you. He has tears flowing from his eyes, just like Jesus did with Lazarus. He grieves with you. And last November, I went on a retreat, 8-day silent retreat, and I found healing there for that period, that dark period. And it was a retreat based on the spiritual exercises from Ignatius of Loyola, where you, in a protected environment, you imagine Jesus in front of you. And every single day, every hour that I did that exercise, Jesus just came and put his cheek on my cheek. He was just near. He just put his cheek on my cheek. And it's in that relationship, of that perfect relationship with the Father, with Jesus, and the insights from the Holy Spirit, that we can find healing. No answer can heal that inside of us. Only his presence and his love. Only his presence and his love can bring us healing. But also in a relationship with other people. And this might be scary because people might have not responded in a well way. So it can be scary to find that healing. But there's a therapy called emotionally focused therapy that I studied, which is a beautiful way where the therapist creates a safe environment where two people can speak their mind and their hearts. It's a couples therapy, but it can also, what you learn can also be used for friends or just for yourself, knowing how it works inside of your heart and where it comes from. And what you do in that therapy is that you look at attachment from the past, those four that I just talked about, and the unfulfilled needs that come from that. And what happens after, what happens with those needs, what it triggers. And in that setting of the therapy, there the therapist helps you to have an emotional experience. It sounds very vague, but it's just a moment where you speak your heart of what happened and what is your need, what triggers your need, and the pain that caused behavior. The pain that is caused because of the behavior of the other person. When you can create a safe environment, you are able to speak that pain and find healing there through experiencing that the other person is there and he understands or she, and he loves you still, and he affirms you or she. I wrote down on a whiteboard how it looks like, because the other talk I tried to explain with all these layers, so it was a little bit difficult. So I wrote it down. Let me see how it works. So this is an infinity loop, as you can see. This is person A and person B. This is the process that it goes. The behavior of this person influences all the layers inside this person's heart. The behavior of this person does the same with this person. So it goes like this. The behavior of somebody, for instance, person B is distancing himself or herself. This triggers unfulfilled attachment need in person A. For instance, the need for closeness. It touches that. This causes the primary emotion to come up. The fear of rejection. This is all underneath the layer. It's all underneath what is visible. So it's hard to figure out where it all comes from. So you work through that in the therapy. From the primary emotion, you go to the secondary emotion. These are easy to see, like frustration, anger, sadness. These are the secondary emotions. From there, it goes to the perception of yourself and from the other person. And from there, you create a behavior in response to all of this. So the behavior can be angry or acting up or distancing yourself as well. So, just a recap, distancing touches the need for closeness. This touches the fear of rejection, frustration. You see the other person as somebody who would leave you, and you see yourself as not worthy enough, maybe. And your behavior is maybe acting up. This creates the same thing for person B. Unfulfilled attachment need is the need for appreciation. Then the primary emotion is the fear of failure. The secondary emotion is the fear of having heavy emotions. The perception of himself and of others is maybe that this person, person A, is aggressive. And the behavior is distancing more, because he's afraid of emotions. So distancing more, this triggers, etc. So this goes on and on and on. They call this a dance because it influences each other. Okay? So I'm going to put this away. Now I want to go through the the needs that aren't fulfilled. And these are the need to be accepted, happens often that it's not fulfilled, the need to be accepted, the need for closeness, the need to be understood, the need to be important to someone, often unfulfilled, the need to be loved, the need to be valued, the need for positive qualities being acknowledged, and the need for appreciation. the two core needs that keep coming back are the need to be connected and the need to be of value. Bottom, the unfulfilled needs of attachment. And those come from those four attachment styles that we just went through. Then the primary emotions, the one that is above it, these are the more vulnerable attachment-related emotions. It's a difficult line of words. The more vulnerable attachment-related emotions. These are attached to attachment. For example, the anxiety to lose somebody you love. Or the need to be supported at vulnerable moments. The primary anxieties that happen often are the fear of being rejected, the fear of being abandoned, the fear of being a failure, the fear of not being accepted or appreciated, the fear of not worthy of love, and the fear of being directed or dominated. These are the primary anxieties that happen often, the primary fears. Then the one above that was the secondary emotions. These are simple, like frustration, powerlessness, angry, sad, etc. The perception is how you see yourself or the other. This can be a variety of things, aggressive or not there for you. And the behavior is how you act. You act out, you get angry, or you distance yourself, or you blame yourself, etc. So knowing this dynamic of the infinity loop can help you understand what behavior from other people triggers inside of you and where it comes from. When you are able to speak that out in a safe environment, and that's what I meant with an emotional experience, when you are able to speak that out in a safe environment, it has to be safe, the other person can receive it and can respond to that in a way that is healing for your heart. So the therapist is there to help you with that. You can do that, of course, without a therapist, but it can be extra scary. So you break open what is inside of you and you speak it out. When you hear from the other person that you are not a failure or that you are appreciated, you hear and you experience that you are not rejected. It's scary, but we can do hard things. We can do hard things. So this is how you can heal stuff from inside with another person. The beautiful thing is that we have Jesus, and he is the perfect relationship. When you look at him, you can see with the Father and the Holy Spirit that they fulfill all of our needs. All of our needs. So the need to be accepted, he accepts you fully. He sees you as you are. The need for closeness, he is closer, the Father is closer than the air that we breathe. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. The need to be understood, Father knows the number of hairs. He understands exactly what has happened to you from the beginning of time. He knows exactly what it did to you, what it did to your heart in combination with your personality. He knows it all. He understands you fully. The need to be important to someone. The Bible says, you are precious and honored in my sight. You are so important to him. The need to be loved. You are loved in my sight. Endlessly. He loves you fully. The need to be valued. The Father adores you. The need for positive qualities being acknowledged. He sees the good in you. Even though you can't see it yourself, the Father sees it in you. The need for appreciation. Jesus died for you. He died for you. He appreciates you. And Jesus also fulfills, calms all the fears that we have. The fear of being rejected. they went on a covenant with you. The Psalm 118, it says the Father will never reject you. The Father will never reject you. The fear of being abandoned, he will never leave your side. As a mother might forget his child, her child, I will never forget you. The fear of being a failure, you are worthy in his eyes. The fear of not being accepted or appreciated, he calms that fear because you are so accepted, you are so appreciated. The fear of not worthy of love, if the Son of God dies for you, that shows how worthy you are. St. Augustine, he says that even if you were the only person alive, Jesus would still die for you, only for you. You are so worthy in his eyes. The fear of being directed or dominated, the Father is gentle. The Father is kind. Love is kind. Love is gentle. And the thing is that when we see God as dominant or shaming or critical, that's not what the Bible says that he is. That is often a replica, if you say it, like a mirror for your father. If your father was dominant, then you can see God as dominant as well, or shaming, or expecting everything from you. The Father is kind and gentle. So Jesus wants to do a new thing in you. So every morning I have a holy hour where I imagine Jesus just like that retreat. I imagine Jesus in front of me. And Jesus shows me beautiful things every day. It's just healing for my heart. And he wants to do that for you too. So he wants to do a new thing. What you can do is repeatedly throughout the day, meditate on a scripture that heals your heart. On reminders of what Jesus says. He asked in the Bible also to focus on him throughout the day to renew our mind. The thing is also, I see the time, so I have to hurry a little bit. The thing is also that when our needs and our fears are met by, when our fears are calmed and our needs are met by the Father, that makes it easier for us when other people hurt us in that way. When other people with that behavior hurt us, it's easier for us to put it aside because we know that we are worthy. We know that we are loved. So the Father can bring healing in that way as well. He is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Father wants to do a new thing in you. He wants to make you new. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, not with the distractions of the natural realm. Focus throughout the day on the scripture that God has written down for you to help you renew your mind. Guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Look at those needs that we just summed up. Which one rings a bell for you? Where do you need healing? It's important because it influences everything, how we go throughout the day, how we see ourselves, how we react to other people. So look at your heart. Where do you need healing? Be transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Romans 12:2. He wants to change your life. He wants to renew you. He wants to restore you. So now we come to the exercise that I want to do with you. And this is an exercise where we give our hurt and our pain that we have experienced to Jesus. So I want to ask Mark for some background music. Thank you. This comes from Sister Miriam James Highland. This is found in the Hello app. It's a beautiful meditation. An exercise to find healing. You can repeat this exercise anytime. You can find this talk on YouTube or Facebook, and you can repeat this over and over whenever you need it. It's it's really beautiful because it really lightens the load of your heart. And maybe it doesn't work for you, but there are several other ways to find healing, of course, like we talked about, but this one might be surprising to you. So we can give to him our needs, our fears, our pain, or something that struck you today, or anything, you can give that to him. So I'm going to ask you to settle in and close your eyes. And take a few deep breaths, all the way in and all the way out. All the way in and all the way out. One last time, all the way in and all the way out. And we allow the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind and your heart whatever He wishes to do in this time. I invite you to call to mind something that has been troubling you or hurting you. It can be something from the past, or feelings of hopelessness, or maybe just a disagreement this morning. Call it to mind. If this is difficult for you, just take a few breaths, take a pause, you can come back later. This is a safe place. Allow it to let it surface in your mind and your body. Where do you feel it in your body? As you call to mind the situation, what are the beliefs that you hold about yourself in this situation? What are the beliefs you hold about yourself in this situation? I want to invite you to imagine holding the weight of this hurt in your hands, placing that part of your heart out in your hands in front of you. Just hold it there and look at it. It might feel embarrassing, or heavy, or shameful, or irritated. That's okay, you are safe here. And as you do this, would you imagine Jesus standing in front of you? Just look at his face as he beholds you. His face is of immense kindness and deep understanding and tender attentiveness and thoughtful care. He's not embarrassed or ashamed. He's not disgusted or disappointed in you. He's not in a hurry. And he's not afraid of what you hold in your hands. He's not telling you to get over it or to stop whining about it. He's not saying any of that. If it matters to you, then it matters to him. There's a reason why it's hurting your heart. And he would like to encounter you right here. Because he knows your wounds very deeply. Would you be willing, even if it seems really risky, would you allow Jesus to look at the situation that you hold in your hands? Just let him look at it. And just notice what it's like to look at this part of your life with the Lord, not just yourself. I'm going to ask Jesus to speak to each one of you about this part of our heart. So Jesus, what do you want us to know about this painful part of our heart? What is the truth, Lord, of who we are in this pain and how you love us right here? And I pray, Lord, that you speak however you wish to. You love us. And if you are willing, because Jesus wants to be one with you in all things, will you allow him just to very reverently and with deep respect and honor to gently reach out toward you and take that situation from your hands and be with you there by placing it in his own pierced heart, his heart that has been pierced for you? he places it in his own pierced heart. That might seem scary, since we have parts in our hearts that we really struggle with. We get so used to holding on to them that we want to cling to them, even though it's painful. So I want to invite you, would you be willing to allow Jesus to bring this part of your heart in oneness with Him? He wants to be with you here. What is it like to see Jesus so reverently do that with you and for you? And as he does that, would it be okay if he just gently places his hand on your heart to bring healing there? That his hands are safe, warm, strong, tender, and honoring, and they are healing. And you can feel the kindness of his heart as his hand rests on your heart. And as our meditation comes to a close, I invite you to listen to your heart as I pray. Jesus, please bring every part of my heart into communion with you. You come to bring me into love and freedom with you. You see me as I truly am, and you love me. May my heart know this truth to the core of my being more and more. Let's just take another moment to feel how you are feeling right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for participating in this exercise, and I hope it gave you lightness in your heart. And I want to invite Mark and Barry back.
Wow. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I don't know about you guys, but I really felt the Lord's presence just as Elska was talking to us and taking us through that exercise. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Barry, you're still muted, mate.
That was awesome, Elspeth. Thank you. I just, like Mark said, I'm just kind of just there in the presence, you know. Very good.
You made,
you're so kind, eh?
Yeah. You made something, I think, Elspeth, that many of us, I'm not belittling it in any way, but you made it easy. And I know many of these things we struggle with are very deep and very, you know, they've been with us a long time, and very often we're scared to face them because we think it's going to be so big and so difficult. and of course it can be, but what you presented to us was just that simple, beautiful trust we can have on the Father and on Jesus and on the Holy Spirit, that they're the ones bringing the healing. And it's just as we open our hearts to them, they take it. So, Elspeth, thank you, bless you. We really appreciate you and you being with us. And I can just see the comments, which you can look at, you know, on Facebook later, but they're just, everybody's very grateful and thanking you for what you shared. So, folks, thank you very much for being with us. I shall edit out the little bit where we were frozen in the middle tomorrow, and the video will be on the website later on tomorrow. But Elspeth, thanks once again. Barry and I will be back with you in 2 weeks' time. No webcast next week, and we'll see you then. So thank you and goodbye.
Thanks, Elspeth.
Thank you.